love to get your student plugged in. And so that's what I'll say about that. And then I wanted to take a moment of personal privilege. A couple weeks ago, I was ordained in what was a much more emotional service than I was anticipating. And I have a picture up here. All these people from the church surprised Stacy and me. And I just wanted to say this. Thank you. Thank you to a church that supports, prays, loves on, gives generously to its pastoral staff, not just to me, but to everybody that serves here in any capacity. You truly are an exemplary congregation, and we are blessed to have you, and it's why we're able to do what we do. So it may feel a little awkward, but I want you to give yourselves a round of applause. Go ahead and do it. You've earned it. So good to see you all. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to get into the message really quickly. And this is a really familiar passage of a scripture. If you've been in the church a long time, or maybe you haven't, chances are you know at least a part of this passage. And so let me read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? You know it, see? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint me with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Blessed be the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Now I know what you're thinking. It's graduate Sunday. Literally like three of them left because Pendleton, for whatever reason, does their graduations Sundays at once. So we said goodbye. But I know what you're thinking. It's a time of celebration, promotion, graduation. Why are we in Psalms 23? We usually associate Psalm 23 for grieving moments, for moments of tragedy. Perhaps you've been at a funeral and you've heard part of this passage. And it's not for an unjustified reason. It's beautiful in its own sense that it comforts a grieving soul. But what I'm here to kind of talk about this morning is the idea that the beauty in which the poetry is written by King David in Psalm 23 speaks much more into the journey of our lives than it does in moments of tragedy and even death. The richness of this passage is often not studied enough. And even in this time frame, with the time that I have, I will not be able to do it justice. But I wanted us to stop and really consider what we are reading when we read this passage. And so before I do, I want to point some attention to this. Ella Bitar, who we just celebrated, painted this for me this week. Could we give her a round of applause? Just a little side note, she's got to pay for IU somehow. She's available for artistry, okay? She's literally painted sides of barns for companies. And so she's going to do some work in our youth center. Really excited about it. But I love what she did with this canvas. And all I did, I didn't guide her, I didn't ask her to go one direction or another. I asked her, read Psalm 23 and paint what you think it is. And this is the beautiful canvas that she painted. Now, I'm gonna talk more about it at the end, but I want you just to consider a few things, okay? If you can't tell, this is Jesus. Everybody say, hi, Jesus. Just look at him, study him. His proximity, his posture. Look at where the sheep are. Look at the details of this. I feel like Bob Ross up here, okay? But look at the contrast, look at the light, look at all of it. And we're going to come back to that at the end of this message. But the simple fact this morning is that God wants to be the shepherd of your life. God wants to be your shepherd. So the question that I immediately ask, well, what the heck does a shepherd even do? We've been in children's church. We've read children's Bible stories. We kind of understand, like, shepherds have this weird cane-looking thing, and they hit sheep, and they move sheep, and they flock the sheep, and it's beautiful. Chances are you probably don't know a shepherd personally. But wait, you do, because he's your shepherd. I'm talking about Dr. Joe over here. I'm very excited about this. Janae helped me out with a little illustration project, so everybody give it up for Janae before I move forward. Did you guys know that she gave me these stories? I'm so glad that she didn't tell you. Okay. So if you really want to know what a shepherd does, you need to look towards the D'Agostino farm, okay? And so she wrote these and gave these to me. I'm going to read a few of them for you. Here's the first one. 11 a.m. I walk outside. Mom is laying down bleeding across the rocks because Dolly, one of their sheep, rammed her down because she was mad. And Ramsey, the other sheep, wouldn't let her get back up because he liked her petting him on the ground. 8:30 p.m. that same day, we pull into our driveway. Sheep come running. Mom says, "How cute are they? They are so innocent, sweet." I like that. Here's another one. Us, watching a show inside. We hear grunting. What's that? Oh, that's just Dad fighting the sheep to try to get them in the barn. He's fine, he's fine. This is a good one. Us, getting sent a video of our sheep who got inside the house while our house sitter was at work, y'all, okay? We feel terrible. Sheep poop everywhere. Throw out rugs, rip up carpet. Typical. Friends calling to see if we want to meet up. Us, no, maybe another time. We haven't spent enough time with our sheep lately, so we planned a dinner date outside. They were getting a little depressed. So sweet of you guys. I just imagine candlelight outside with Dolly and Ramsey. Anyway, last one. I'm not going to have a job tomorrow. No. Us trying to get out of the driveway. One person drives. The other person opens the gate. The other person blocks the sheep from trying to get out of the gate. The rest are in the car every single day. Give it up for Janae. Those are fantastic stories. But I think that actually gives us real insight to what the life of a shepherd is. Listen, the job, the role of a shepherd is not a glamorous one. It's not a fun one. It can be a deeply fulfilling one, but it's not always an easy one. Sometimes sheep are emotional. Sometimes sheep get angry. Sometimes sheep don't know what to do and are led astray. Sometimes sheep knowingly make wrong choices. Shepherds have to deal with their emotions, not just their physical health, but their holistic health. And sometimes, I think this was beautifully illustrated, shepherds have to deal with the crap that the sheep make. It's right there. The role of a shepherd is hard. So when we go back to verses 1-3, listen, we understand and we see this nearly every week. God leads and he provides for us. We must learn to trust that, right? We gotta learn that God is giving us guidance and provision and protection. But God wants you to know him on a different level. He wants you to experience him as the shepherd of your life. Now, here in verse 1, it says the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say, my shepherd. He's your shepherd. Now listen to this. In 6 verses, it's not a very long passage, the first personal pronoun is used 17 times. Do you think he's trying to drive a point into our minds? He doesn't want to just be a shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd. He doesn't just want to be your mom's shepherd. He doesn't just want to be your grandma's shepherd. He doesn't want to just be your spouse's shepherd. He wants to be your personal shepherd. Now, going back into verse 1, it goes on to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we say it a little bit humorously, but those sheep are well taken care of. Those sheep want for nothing. Those sheep know that they are loved. When you follow the Good Shepherd in a personal and intimate way, you will lack for nothing. He will provide every need you ever have. Now, let's not get confused on needs and wants. My Sunday school has been talking about this a little bit. What's the difference between a need and a want? Well, it's quite simple. You need food, you need water, you need shelter. You want the new PlayStation game, right? You don't need it. A lot of teenage boys, I need it. No, you don't. There's a difference between a need and a want. No better way to illustrate it than this. We had 4 open houses to attend yesterday. So we were riding the circuit like preachers did back in the day. And we'd stop, and there's 2 things that are guaranteed at every open house. 1, a graduate that we're celebrating, woohoo. Secondly, cake. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Cake, cupcakes, if they want to be cute and tear it up and everything. You know what's really bad for a diabetic? Open house season, okay? Because there's cake, there's sweets, there's cookies everywhere. And so I am leading my daughter, Annie, who's 3, and her eyes get wide every time we stop at a new house because she sees a brand new cake she can devour. She doesn't need it. It's my job, I know, so sad. It's my job as her dad to make sure she gets what she needs and to say no to the things that she thinks she wants, but this isn't, it wouldn't benefit her, right? And so I have the dubious pleasure of saying, no, honey, you had cake at the last one. No, honey, you had cookies already. We need to watch the sweets. And I'm the really good parent. I always see Stacy sneak behind me and hand her a cupcake anyway just to keep her pacified. But we won't go into that right now. You lack for nothing when you follow the Good Shepherd. You may have some wants that go unfulfilled, but that's okay. You literally lack for nothing. To move on to a different thought, let's think about the context of this psalm. David is talking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. How many of you guys have ever heard of that phrase? The valley of the shadow of death. It sounds spooky. It sounds ominous. It doesn't sound very hopeful. The valley of the shadow of death. In the presence of his enemies, when you walk through difficult days, it's because you're probably lacking something. When you're walking through grief, it's probably because you lack fellowship with somebody you love. When you walk through disease or sickness, it's because you lack good health. When you walk through difficulty with your family, y'all, it's because you lack what you either once had or wish you always had. And Psalm 23:4 speaks of God's comforting presence. We've all experienced a valley of some kind. And it's famously mentioned here. Now, I have this cute little thing over here. I know, this is so sweet. Everybody go, ooh. Everybody go, ah. Now, if you're not a national park enthusiast, you're probably going to go home and Google, where is Alden National Park? You're not going to find it, okay? Alden is the name of my boy. And this was actually a gift that everyone on staff chipped in when he was born last year. And we made his bedroom into this high adventure Boy Scout National Park theme. And so they got this for me. This is super cute, right? Give the staff a round of applause for their creativity. And so I'm just going to set this right here. But the reason I bring it up is because it doesn't look like it right now, but we used to be outdoors people, okay? We used to love hiking and doing stuff, and then we had kids, and then everything went to pot. So we're just changing diapers all day, which is a good form of exercise, and it's really healthy for the kids. But But we love being outside, and we love national parks. We try to get outside as much as possible. And one of the things that we thought would be really cute in his nursery with this high adventure theme is to hang up pictures and portraits of all the national parks that either Stacy or myself or both of us had visited. And so it's a cute, beautiful little display, and that hangs right there with it. But I want to tell you one portrait that will probably never hang in Alden's nursery. Have you guys ever heard of Death Valley National Park? Doesn't sound like a very welcoming place, does it? Has anybody been to Death Valley? Reverend Dill has been to Death Valley. I ought to talk to you about this. Death Valley just does not sound like an appealing place to me. And every time when I read this in Psalm 23, I can't help but to picture this national park. This national park is uncomfortable. It's hot. There's not a lot of life to it. Nobody really wants to be hiking out there. High adventure enthusiasts take it as a personal challenge. But for the everyday person, Death Valley doesn't sound very appealing. And the reason it got its name, Death Valley, was because in 1913, on a hot July day, it became the hottest place ever recorded anywhere in the world. Without any humidity, without any other external factors, just the pure heat, the temperature rose to 134 degrees. Whew, that'd be a tan, I'll tell you that much. Flip me over. It stayed consecutively hot for the next 5 days, averaging a temperature of 129 degrees. How many of us would be uncomfortable in that setting? Raise your hand. I know you're not as tough as you think you are, okay? That sounds miserable. So what you won't find there is me and Stacy, because we like our air conditioning, we like our modern amenities. But what you might like, if you ever experience Death Valley, is maybe the presence of a map or a guide, and maybe some sunscreen. I don't know. Bottle of water would be nice. What I'm trying to get at here is that the valley of the shadow of death that David is speaking about are uncomfortable moments in our lives. They're inevitable. They always come. They're often unexpected. They're difficult to navigate the terrain. It might be financial, it might be relational, it might be related to your health, but in one way or another, everybody in here can testify to the fact that they have experienced the valley of the shadow of death. And what is David trying to communicate through this illustration? He's saying, in the same way, as we journey through these harsh conditions in life, we can find tremendous comfort in knowing that God is with us. He doesn't leave us in the dark seasons. He doesn't forsake us when the terrain gets rough, when it's difficult to navigate. His spirit is ever present through us. Psalm 23 goes on to teach us that the Lord doesn't just want to sustain. Some of you all have to get out of this mindset. God doesn't want you just to exist. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to live life and live life to the fullest. And some of you, happy, shiny people, need to inform your faces. It's always cup half empty. Doom, gloom, despair, agony on me. Nothing's ever going my way. The universe is against me. Good grief, that gets so tiresome. God sustains. That's foundational. That's transformational. But God also wants to satisfy. Can I get an amen on that, church? He doesn't want to just sustain. He wants to satisfy you. And I love the imagery that David uses when he is talking about the Lord wanting to satisfy you. He, the good shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Maybe not today, it's a little wet outside, but in Tampa, where we were just at, it was really nice. Go touch some grass, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Did you know the Lord can calm your anxious soul? He can do it. I've seen him do it. Not in a way that will just get you by, not in a way that'll just get you through a season or a period in your life, but he actually wants to replace your anxiety, get this, for his peace. He can do that. He goes on to say, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. These are parallel phrases. As shepherd, he leads my path. I think we understand that. The shepherd leads us. But God doesn't just say, go this way, do this thing, leaving you to figure it out on your own. No, it's a parallel statement in that he leads you beside quiet waters, or maybe still waters, and in paths of righteousness. And then this one. He restores my soul. What a phrase. Would you say that with me? He restores my soul. Just let that soak in for a second. Think about it this way. Are you broken? The Lord repairs. Are you hurting? The Lord heals. Do you feel dirty? The Lord makes clean. Do you feel guilty? The Lord can forgive. Did you notice that it's the shepherd who does all these things? He makes you. He leads you. He restores you. These are all things that he is actively doing or wanting to do in your life. And these are all examples of sustaining. But then in verse 6, David shifts and he states, surely goodness, everybody say goodness, and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now that is a wonderful statement. Surely goodness and mercy. His presence is not just for a moment. It's not just for a season, but for those who will continually walk in step with him, for those who choose the path of obedience, for those who choose to place their trust in the good shepherd, surely goodness and mercy will continue to follow them. Now, let's just stop here, and maybe you've heard me say this before, but I want to say it again. The valley of the shadow of death, it still looms. There are still difficult seasons that we go through. When days, there are more questions than answers in our lives. And then we read that from David, and he says, goodness and mercy? I want to challenge you on that. Because if you cannot change your circumstance, you need to change your perspective. The Lord is teaching me this over and over and over again, church. If you cannot change the things around you, change your perspective. Because I tell you the truth, goodness and mercy are in your life. You just have to look for it. Amen, church? And it will follow you all the days of your life. Will there still be hardships? Yes. Will there still be difficult days? Absolutely. But you can be sure, you can take it to the bank, that for those who choose obedience, goodness and mercy will follow. This leads to the last picture. As your shepherd, he guarantees this sustaining and satisfying life and relationship forever. Now, can I tell you something? We don't deserve that. If we're being gut level honest with ourselves, and it's a harsh reality that maybe we don't talk about enough, we don't deserve his goodness. We don't deserve his mercy. Do you know what we deserve? We deserve his judgment. Now, this is not a fear tactic. I'm not trying to emotionally manipulate. I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes we live entitled lives. Sometimes we don't understand a great sacrifice that has already been made on our behalf. And we tend to look at the grass is greener situations. We should be full of gratitude, expressing it vibrantly and intentionally every day. Because we were destined for severed relationship with God forever. And we deserve his judgment, church. But do you know what the good shepherd does? He replaces that judgment. And instead, he fills our lives with life and goodness and mercy. And if you don't believe me, just hear the words of Jesus in John 10:11. Jesus states, "I am the good shepherd." What does a good shepherd do? Ultimately, the good shepherd will lay his life down for his sheep. And Jesus is that good shepherd. He has laid his life down so that we could have ours. And that's the truth of this passage. Here's the reality this morning. Jesus came to make Psalm 23 a reality for you and me in the present. This picture that it is painting in this passage is the vision of the life that God, through the sacrifice of his son Jesus, wants to give us. Amen? This is it. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Therefore, I wouldn't even ask you, I would implore you to consider this question. Do you know the life of the good shepherd? And is he leading yours? To put it a different way, I've been meditating on this all through my vacation, knowing that I'd be preaching this. How good am I at following my shepherd? Ask that question of yourself. How good am I at following the shepherd? On good days, I feel like I do a really good job. When things aren't chaotic at work, when things are great at house, at the home, no problems in my life, I can do devotions, I have a vibrant prayer life, I feel like I'm leading my family well, it's really easy to follow my shepherd. But what about the difficult days? What about the days where the shadow of the valley of death creeps in? Am I always so faithful to follow my good shepherd? I'm not always. Let me put it to you this way. If the shepherd leads me beside quiet waters and my soul is dry and thirsty, I have obviously lost sight of him and have gone off on my own way. Let me read that again. If the shepherd leads me beside quiet waters, we are literally there at the source of life, and my soul is dry and thirsty, I have obviously lost sight of him and gone off my own way. We let fear, which is a human response, creep in to situations we don't feel like we have control of. Is your soul dry and thirsty this morning? The still waters are right beside you. All you have to do is look to your shepherd. I need to look up to my shepherd when I am filled with fear, because he has promised to always be with me. When my life goes off course, I need to look up at my shepherd because he promised to guide me on the right path. I can trust my shepherd. Everybody say that with me. I can trust my shepherd. All I need to do is follow him closely. I just need to follow him closely, church. I have everything I need when I'm with him. I want to dwell in his presence. Take a look at this picture again. I love the way that Ella depicted Jesus. Usually, when we're asked to picture Jesus, we think of stained glass, we think of crucifixion, maybe up in the heavens, maybe on the boat. I love this picture of Jesus. He's disarmed, he's relaxed, keeping a watchful eye over these sheep. See the mountains in the dark contrast. Ella informed me that this was to communicate that we still acknowledge the shadow of the valley of death. But notice that the sun is peeking over even the highest dark point. There's a new tomorrow. There's hope. There's a future. And then look where the sheep are, in the green pasture behind the still water. Here's a very easy way to understand it. His presence equals peace. If you know the Lord as your good shepherd, his presence will bring you what? Peace. There was a song that was actually sung here at a concert a couple years ago when Matt Maher was here. And he had a supporting act. They were called Mission House. And they have some beautiful songs. And they sang a song that stuck with me and still goes through my head fairly frequently. And when I was praying and meditating on how I wanted to close this message, I just continued coming back to this song. Now, you'll have to indulge me. There's a lot of Psalm 23 songs out there. A lot of them are somber. I wanted something to be reflective yet hopeful. And so the lyric in part goes, if I were a bird, I'd want to build my nest in the rafters of your sanctuary. And I think this song clearly communicates what I've been talking about, what David is talking about in Psalm 23. Happy are those who dwell in the house. And by the way, I love Ella's depiction of the house of God. Because in my fourth grade artistic education, I probably would have drawn like a penciled in version of a house that we're all going into, right? But her depiction is the beauty of his creation in this serene moment where he is at peace, where his sheep are at peace, and they're just soaking in the beauty that's around them. I want you to consider two things. And then I'm going to let them sing this song, and I hope you'll sing along with them. They're beautiful lyrics. But two things I want you to consider. First, I want you to consider the terrain of your journey. If you haven't already, you will experience both the valleys and the green pastures in life. The good, the bad, and yeah, even sometimes the ugly. I want you to consider that because it's an important part. But more than that, I want you to consider who is leading you there. Is it you? Is it your own inability? Do you think you have things under control? How's that working out for you? Do you crave peace? Do you crave comfort? Do you crave satisfaction and fulfillment? I know somebody. He's the good shepherd. And he loves you with an everlasting love. But you have to walk the path of obedience. You have to place your wholehearted trust in him. I'm going to leave you with that challenge. And as Eric and Lily lead, open your hearts to what God wants to say to you today. And if you feel it necessary, a conviction, if you will, respond appropriately. Listen to these beautiful words.
away. Hold the doors, I'd rather sweep the floors than be anywhere else but here, anywhere else but here. I'd rather hold the doors, I'd rather sweep the floors than be anywhere else but here, oh, anywhere else but here. Oh, I'd rather hold the doors, Jesus, I'd rather sweep the floors than be anywhere else but here, anywhere else but here. Oh, I'd rather hold the doors, yeah, I'd rather sweep the floors than be anywhere else but here, anywhere else but here. 'Cause happier those who dwell in the house of God. Yes, happier those who dwell in the house of God. Oh, Jesus, it's our joy. Happier those who dwell in the house of God. We are happy. Happier those who dwell in the house of God.
His presence this morning. It's giving each other some privacy and some moments to reflect upon what we've heard, and as the Spirit is speaking to us. This altar is always a place of comfort, a place of refuge, a place where we can come and kind of get our attention, our focus back on the shepherd. It's easy in the hustle and bustle of life and the shadows to get our attention off of him. So as we're bowing our heads together and we're opening our hearts and we're just allowing the Spirit just these moments to speak. Happy are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that when we can't see your plan, we can trust your heart. And when we don't know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. We're also thankful that in those moments when you allow things into our lives to redirect us. And yes, Lord, even to correct us, that you use those moments to strengthen us and to draw us gently back to you. We're so thankful that we have this shepherd that we can trust, that we can lean into, we can count on. And maybe there's some this morning that they feel like they're in the shadow of death. They feel like that there's no water around. They're in the valley and it's hot and it's dry. But I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would just speak comfort to them and speak hope and speak life and renew their spirit. And may they mount up on the wings as eagles. May they run and not be weary. May they walk and not faint this morning. We know that not everybody needs to come forward to find the help and the peace of God, but there are those that are just quietly now in your presence, seeking your heart. And we know they are finding the help and the favor and the touch of God that they need in their life. I pray a blessing over this crowd, that we would not lose sight of this truth, we would not lose sight of this fact, that you want to be our personal shepherd, our personal Savior. I love the fact that you died for the whole world, but what's more exciting and more revealing is that you died just for me, for us individually. I pray you would help us now in the name of Jesus, that your will would be done, your name would be glorified, the powers of hell would be defeated, and for what you do, we'll love you, we give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. We want to encourage you as you take your next step of faith. Maybe that is taking the step to and giving in your journey. Maybe that's taking the step of joining a small group or joining a Sunday school class. Or maybe that is, can I just be transparent as executive pastor, sweep the floor and hold the door, hallelujah. Yeah. Whatever that step of faith is, we want to encourage you. We want to journey with you. We want to partner with you. So please take a moment, scan the QR code, and avail yourself of this next step on your journey. Also keep in mind, this Wednesday at 5 o'clock, there's going to be an all-church cookout. Hallelujah. And at 7 o'clock, there's going to be a night of worship. You don't want to miss this. You want to be here. Make plans. Put on your calendar now. We'll look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day.